Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Hey, Hoover.
Hey, Jersey.
Hey, welcome to the first episode of Saturday Supercast. And I guess that would make me your host and Hoover your other host. I'm Jersey Drozd, artist and writer of The Front and various other comics on Make Like a Tree Comics.
I'm and Hoover, and I am Jersey's whipping boy.
And you are also the author of the website known as Hooverland at members.aol.com/Hoover's webpage,
Hoover's
right?
Hoover's webpage, yes.
Right.
It's old, outdated, and nearly useless.
but it's full of funny stories. And funny pictures.
Maybe.
Well, we've been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah.
We got a big announcement today.
Time to announce something to the world.
Yeah, and we'll just jump right into it. I just want to get right to it because let's not keep people waiting any longer. We've been waiting for like 10 months now, and the person best to help explain what this thing is. Well, okay, before we start, let me back up just a bit. We talked about this a little bit on the Make Like a Tree Comics podcast, which is the Blatcast, episode 16. Mark Rudolph and Sean Robert and I all talked about all ages comics, and which ties into what Make Like a Tree Comics is. And I've been hinting at this thing for a long time, saying like this new project, the Secret Project, is a logical extension of what Make Like a Tree Comics is. And the reason I asked you, Hoover, to co-host this thing with me is because, just like The Front, this Secret Project simply would not exist if it wasn't for you.
Oh,
why?
Shucks.
Why? Because my philosophy of what I like about comics was largely informed by the conversations we had. What were those conversations?
Well, we used to talk about Transformers cartoons. We used to talk about G.I. Joe comics and cartoons. And we used to analyze these things to an insane degree. And
yeah,
we would just beat these topics to death. And basically that boiled down to an essence what you liked about these things. And I think sort of allowed you to replicate what you liked and create your own sort of little adventures and whatnot.
Right.
Which you already
right.
had the front, not, but, you know, this allowed you to sort of, I think, sort of come up with a formula almost. Would you
yeah,
say that's true?
Yeah, that's a way of putting it. I mean, we boiled it down to beyond, oh, Teela was really hot, and oh, I really liked you know, Snake Eyes because he likes to be alone. We boiled it down to what made the shows work beyond nostalgia. Nostalgia's part
yeah.
of it, but that's not all of it. And for more information, please refer to Make Like the Blatcast episode 16. We talk about it quite a bit, but we only started the conversation. So Hoover and I got talking about, and I just pitched this idea at him a little over a year ago. I said, you know what I'd really like to do is I'd love to do an anthology series where we actually do it like a block of animation, the Saturday morning block of animation, where all the comics on there are done in the Saturday morning style. And I had toyed around with that with Sarah Turner on Make Like a Tree Comics with Silver and the Periodic Forces, remember?
Yeah.
Where we essentially did like a self-contained 15-page story in three acts, five pages an act, and they did little commercial breaks, cute thing. So I thought, well, how cool would it be if we could do a whole anthology where we invite a whole bunch of people in to do the same kind of thing? And for that, I turned to but the problem was is that one of the ways that anthology series and comics collectives always fell short for me was, A, there was no print component, and B, you would wind up having you know, a lineup of creators that would last, you know, upwards of a year, and they'd update a page a week. So you get a lot of pages, but if you didn't like more than three or four stories on that site, there wasn't a whole lot to keep you interested. So I wanted something that would have a lot more rotating content. So I came up with this idea, and I pitched it at a fellow named Barry Gregory. Now, Barry Gregory, for those of you who don't know, is the publisher of 01 Comics. He also owns Kablam Digital Printing Company and Indie Planet, the fulfillment house for Kablam. And I'm going to let him in now. Welcome to the show, Barry Gregory.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So I came to you and I said, hey, I got this idea for this comics anthology. And, you know, I never really asked you point blank. What was your initial reaction?
I was flattered that you brought it to me. I mean, I'd been a fan of what you were doing at Make Like a Tree, and I think we had met at Heroes Con shortly before you pitched this idea to me, and I was flattered that you thought of us.
Well, that's funny because you were the first person I thought of, because when we were talking at Heroes Con, I just kept thinking, and those of you who want proof, go to the Make Like a Tree blog and check the back post from the Heroes Con report. I remember saying very specifically that these guys are very forward-thinking, these Kablam fellows. They really understand digital comics, print-on-demand, and the potential of these things. And so I thought, well, if there's anybody I want to take this anthology to, it's them. And I sent you an email and crossed my fingers. So it's funny that you were flattered, because here I was kind of knocking on wood that you would like the idea.
Well, I left Heroes Con thinking that I'd found a philosophical ally. You know, there's not a whole lot of people that really understand this thing that we're trying to do with digital comics and with the idea of merging, you know, web comics and print comics into something that's just comics. You know, that doesn't have to be one or the other. That should be both. You know, that should be downloadable, that should be available for the PSP, that should be, you know, any way the consumer wants it.
Right. Hoover, I think you and I have had this conversation many times. What would I always say about, you know, the underlying philosophy of Make Like a Tree Comics as far as, like, content?
You will put out comics in any format that people want. You will put them in PSP format. I think, you know, just anytime you would read about, you know, kids reading comics a certain way, you would look into formatting your pages that way and having them available for download. You want to reach the audience any way they want to be reached, and that's a very good business decision, I believe.
Well, I hope, but I mean, that was basically, I think, most of the conversations Barry and I had at Heroes Con was just this notion of any format possible, and particularly print as well, not just this whole notion of, oh, this is web comics, this is print comics, and the two shall meet, you know?
Yeah.
And so, Barry, did you want to go ahead and let them know what this project is called? And so then they can go ahead and start poking around the site while we talk about it a bit?
Sure, I would be thrilled to do that. The project is called Sugary Cereals, Comics for All Ages. The URL is sugaryserials.com. That's SugarySerials. Did I spell that right?
I think so.
sugaryserials.com.
And we'll probably wind up repeating that a lot as people come into the talkcast tonight. But so, yeah, I mean, I think in the original conception, I pitched at you the notion. I think originally I pitched this idea that it was going to be we would never repeat a story. It was going to be, I think, 8-page stories, and it had to be a beginning, middle, and end in 8 pages, and you never repeated that concept again. And I think you came back to me and said, I don't know, I think you should probably do something that's serialized.
Yeah, I think you mentioned initially that one of your inspirations was Flight. And I think we're all, you know, fans of Flight. It's beautiful stuff. But I wasn't really sure if that was an apt analogy for where I thought you were going with this. You know, it seemed to me that if we just did little one-off stories, little 8-page things, they were a little too disposable, and it was going to be hard for people to grasp on and to keep wanting to come back. And so if we did something serialized with a little cliffhanger after the 8 pages, you know, then we've got that hook to keep pulling people back and keep pulling people back.
Right. And that got me thinking, okay, well, if we're going to do a serialized thing, the thing I didn't want to do was this idea where, okay, here's our 12 guys. These are going to be the guys that you read their stories this year, and they each update a page a week. The problem I have with that is that if you don't like more than a few of them, there's very little to bring you back to the site. So I asked myself, well, how can I get, like, lots of rotating content? And I thought of this idea. So here's the updating schedule. This is our unique updating schedule for Sugary Cereals is that, and you can read this on the site, but I'll just explain it to it now for those of you who are just listening and not actually visiting the site, is that every creator will submit between an 8 and 32-page story. And every month we will spotlight 8 pages of three different stories. The stories will be told in 8-page acts, just like how Silver and the Periodic Forces was told in 3 5-page acts. So month one, you'll have 3 separate stories, the first act of those 3 stories. And as stories are completed, they will be replaced by a new story. So you'll get lots and lots of rotating content throughout the series. And, you know, as one story is completed and a new story comes in, and that story is completed, an older story can come back for a second issue. So in that way, it feels more like an anthology kind of animation block of cartoons like from the 70s and 80s, I think.
Yep.
So do we want to go ahead and list some of the creators on board for this? Because I got a list here in front of me.
Sure.
Here are the people who are so far have agreed to do some work for the site. We've got Scott Neely of DC Comics. He currently draws Scooby-Doo as well as various other all-ages licensed properties for DC Comics. Mark Rudolph of CVComics.com. At CV Comics, you can find Mulligan's Run, Galactic League of Marshals, as well as other comics. Not all of them are all-ages friendly, but Mulligan's Run and Galactic League of Marshals are. Sarah Turner. Those of you who have come here from the Make Like a Tree site know who Sarah Turner is. She's my partner on Make Like a Tree Comics. She draws File 49. She's the co-creator of Silver and the Periodic Forces and The Replacements. Chet Lucero of StormCore.com. That's Storm, C-O-R-P-S.com. He does a comic called StormCore. And here, I hope I pronounced it correctly, it is Matt Putnam Puglio. You think that's the way you pronounce it, Barry?
If you say so. That's something I've wondered about, too.
I'm hoping I got it right. He has a website called DialKForComics.com. That's spelled DialKForComics.com, where you can find comics such as Small Wonders and Littlest Daikaiju and others. And Kitsy and Kimono Stereo. Those are 2 creators on board. They do a comic called Nemu Nemu at Nemu-Nemu.com. That's spelled Nemu-Nemu.com. And there's more. We got Robert Burke Richardson, and he has a MySpace page called The Pure Lands. He does some comics called Elf Help, Old School, The Matriarch, and some others. We also have Matt Shepard of man-man.org, and that's where you can find his comic Man Man. We have Andrea Peterson of ForTheWicked.net, where you can find her comic No Rest for the Wicked. Michelle Mauch of MichelleMauch.com, spelled MichelleMauk.com, and she also does a comic called Voyage Moyen on Girl-O-Matic. Ro Mesquita, he has a Comic Space page where you can find him. It's comicspace.com/Ro Mesquita, ROEMESQUITA. And then we have Richard Stevens, who happens to be here in the talk cast tonight. I'll let him in later if he calls in. He has a comic called Private Eye Butterfly. You can find his website, his blogspot site at tuner, tooner-fish.blogspot.com. And even Barry's going to be submitting a comic for this series. And Barry Gregory does a comic on 01comics.com called The Green Man. And then there's me.
Which is currently being reformatted, so there's not a whole lot up there right now, but there will be soon, I hope.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 01, hopefully now that you're done helping me with the Sugary Cereals website, you can finally get some work done on your own websites. And then last but not least is me. I will be working on the site as well. I'll be a contributing artist to it. So that's, you know, that's 14 creators or creative teams so far, and that's just for openers. There are other people who haven't actually committed to a specific story yet who are interested in joining. And then we have 2 contributors so far who are going to be contributing to the podcast and hopefully some kind of blogging capacity, and that's our good friend Hoover, who happens to be hosting here. Say hi, Hoover.
Hello.
And Sean Robert of BrandedInThe80s.com, who happens to be here. Let's see if he's dialed in yet. Oh, he is. I'll have to let him in a little bit later. So that's a pretty good list of creators to start this thing. And those of you who are actually poking around the Sugary Cereals website right now, I'm hoping have gotten a taste of, you know, what kind of quality we're talking about. This thing is starting out as being an invitation-only website, but hopefully we can open that up later on. But I really wanted to get a strong start so that we could have a good group of people to establish the what do you want to call it? The theme?
Kind of the brand identity, to use a kind of a crass marketing term.
Right.
You got to have a good foundation before you build the house.
Yeah, to use an old expression. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that we had people in here who could kind of really establish the voice of the anthology, so that other people coming in, you know, the last thing I wanted when we started out was to have it be open for all people to come in, and then you have a guy come in and he's like, oh, I've got this great story about guys with chainsaws on four-wheelers cutting people's heads off. And I'd have to explain to them, you know, that's really not an all-ages thing. They'd be like, what do you mean, you know?
All done in stick figure. Truly avant-garde, man.
Yeah, so I needed a group of creators who could really, you know, show everybody what the voice is, so that way you know going in, well, maybe my comic about four-wheeling, you know, chainsaw guys isn't the story to pitch. So, the other thing to mention is there's a print component to this. Do you want to talk about that, Barry?
Sure. We are going to be collecting each month's worth of comics into an issue of Sugary Serials print comic, and we'll be releasing that every month. It'll be available at IndiePlanet.com, and you'll also be able to find it probably from our creators at convention appearances as well, and hopefully they'll be well stocked with it. And then the plan is, over time, as certain titles build up enough material, we'll collect some of the individual titles and publish those on their own as well.
Right. Yeah, so the idea is every month we will we'll collect the monthly content in its own anthology book, and then we were even talking about possibly at the end of the year collecting it as a giant volume too, weren't we?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was one of the answers to one of my what I felt was a shortcoming of a lot of the online comics anthologies and collectives, is that it's great that they put the comics on the web. I love that, but it's great when sites say, okay, well, here it is as a PDF, here it is as a, you know, for your PSP and whatever, you know, for your iPod, whatever. But then you ask them, well, okay, what about print? Well, you know, more and more people are moving to print, but you don't see many anthologies where it's both, where it's like, okay, here's the archives, they're all free, and here it is in print. Go ahead and have both, whichever you prefer. So that was an exciting aspect for me.
Yeah, I think it's a critical difference between what we're doing here and like you said, like web collectives. It's something that nobody's really tried to do before.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it is. That's one of the unique aspects. I think the update schedule and the print component actually are two of the more unique aspects. And the Saturday morning thing, to a degree, although that's becoming more and more. We're seeing a lot more of that stuff happening, but hopefully we're doing it a little bit more.
Yeah, I know that was a little to your chagrin as we were working on this. It seemed like every week something new was popping up that it seemed to be coming, you know, dangerously close to what we were doing. But then they would always kind of veer off and, you know, save us at the last minute.
Yeah, there were a couple times over the last 10 months where I was close to a meltdown as we were working on this thing. But it all worked out for the best. I'm not complaining. Those delays were a good thing. So do we want to start rolling in some of the creators to talk about this? We got at least Mark Rudolph's here.
Sure.
All right, let's let him in. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hey, Mark, your volume is really loud.
All right.
Rock
I'm just
on.
Really excited.
Oh, that's Mark for you. There's just too much testosterone in that man. So, Mark, why don't you tell us... What?
Am I still blowing you out of the room?
No, it's all right now.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your contribution to Sugary Serials?
Well, for the first issue, actually for the first three issues, it will be Curse of the Pharaohs. It's a kind of in the vein of like a Johnny Quest-ish kind of 60s action-adventure cartoon, a little bit of mysticism, and some mummies, and magic, and, you know, you got your little kid there. I don't know how if we want to really reveal too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. Don't give away too much, but because they got the preview page that they can look at. But so what kind of genre do you think would fit in?
What was that?
Genre do you think it would fit in? Curse of the Pharaohs.
I mean, it's a
would this be along the lines of like action adventure, like say G.I. Joe, or is it more of a like a mysterious kind of thing?
Hey, Mark?
I don't think Mark is with us anymore. Mark has left the building.
All right. I'm going to mute Mark. You can let him back in a little bit later. So, yeah, you can look on the Sugar Cereal site. You can look on the preview page and the preview book, and you can see Mark's contribution, The Curse of the Pharaohs, which apparently has something to do with mummies and magic and young boys getting involved in the danger. The neat thing about Mark's style is it really does feel like 1960s, 1970s kind of action adventure comics and cartoons. You can tell he's very influenced by that era.
He is a student of Jack Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
Not
Jack
literally.
Kirby.
but in theory and fandom.
Well, while we got Barry here, we can talk a little bit about what his contribution is going to be, if he doesn't mind talking about it.
No, not at all.
So what are you going to be working on?
Well, actually, you and I are going to be collaborating on a story called Stranded, which is it's about a nuclear family of mom, dad, boy and girl, who are a spacefaring nuclear family that ends up crash landing on what seems to be deserted alien planet. Only to find out that they're not alone. It's a real throwback to some of the cartoons that I absolutely loved as a kid. Things like I'm going to date myself here, but there was one called Valley of the Dinosaurs, which was about a family that gets thrown back into the past, living with cavemen. There was the live action series Land of the Lost, which had a huge impact on me as a kid, even though it's kind of funny because I really resented the encroachment of live action into my Saturday morning schedule. I really hated that. But looking back, the one that affected me the most was a live action show.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm currently working on the designs for that project, and a lot of the reference material you gave me was from Land of the Lost like a starting point for thematically what these guys should feel like. But yeah, I can say that this particular project, Stranded, is going to be you tickled my experimental artist bone with that one, because you were proposing some new ways of approaching drawing comics, which I think is going to be just a blast to try. I don't know if we can go into that or not. I mean, maybe it'd be better just to save it as a surprise when they actually see it. But
it's one of those things that if it works, it's going to be impressive. If it fails, it could be spectacular.
That's a big promise. But yeah, that's another thing that's so exciting to me about this project is when I proposed it. I mean, I had Silver and the Periodic Forces as a starting point. I said, okay, look at this thing. And as I approached each artist, I said, look at this thing. This is kind of how I kind of established what the ground rule should be for this series as far as, like, tone and, what you can and can't do. Because, there's the whole broadcasting standards and practices image that I posted for everybody to see in the private Sugar Cereals forums, which kind of showed, like, okay, these are the things you can and can't do in animation. And we should kind of stick to that. But I didn't put any kind of mandate on we should do this genre or that genre or this time period or that time period. So it was just a blast to see all the different ideas come in, like Stranded, which is clearly so influenced by, pre-1984 cartoons in television?
No, it's the 1970s cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the Filmation stuff, like the Flash Gordon and Black Star and the Tarzan series, and even the Star Trek animateds from, like, what, 1973?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right, so here I am coming from it from this whole, like, just, celebrating my love of G.I. Joe, Transformers, the 83, 82 to 84, 85 kind of stuff. And you were coming at it from a slightly earlier period. So that kind of helps flesh out a wider range of storytelling possibility. And then you got Mark doing something that's very much, you know, harkens back to an earlier time. And then we got something like Dreamform Defenders by Chet Lucero, who you look at that and that feels very Pixar. It feels very much like something I could see Disney doing nowadays.
And then you've got Daring Dodo, which looks like it be coming from a Cartoon Network press release.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if anyone looks like, you know, they're really speaking to the modern times, I think Daring Dodo, it feels the most timely of all of the different projects on there, and it's just gorgeous. So, yeah, you have, like, this very wide net cast over what Saturday morning-style entertainment is, and I think because of that, it feels much more authentic to me, because anybody who walks up to it, whether they're a dad or, you know, a 10-year-old are going to be able to find something here, hopefully, that they can really dig into and say, oh, yeah, that was my Saturday mornings.
Yeah, it's just like when we used to watch cartoons, you know, they would have, like, Smurfs, but then Smurfs would be done and there would be some other completely different show. And, you know, just the whole morning was sort of like a roller coaster ride of different genres and different sort of ideas in cartoon form, and that this is a great representation of that.
Right. That was the other thing that I was very careful to make clear to everybody, is that it doesn't have to be action adventure, because Saturday morning cartoons were the Smurfs, the Smurks, Turbo Teen, you know,
yeah.
Mighty Man and Yuck, the World's Ugliest Dog. You had your action adventure, and then you also had, like, this whole crazy wide range of in between. You had Muppet Babies.
The Littles,
right. And this is something that I think we should say, and this is on the Sugary Cereals website, but it's something that really needs to just be repeated again and again, because it's something that I feel is really misunderstood, is what does all ages mean? Oh, you must mean that this website is only for 10-year-olds, and it's too dumb for me to read, because I'm a very sophisticated adult, and I'm much, much too clever to read this kind of stuff. Barry, what would your answer be to that attitude?
Well, I think I remember saying something along the lines of that the difference between all ages and children only is the difference between Dora the Explorer and Watership Down.
Right.
You know, that there's an all ages story should be appropriate for children, but that doesn't mean that it has to be. It doesn't have to be a story that's trying to teach them to read or teach them to speak Spanish. You know, it's a story that can be dealing with issues of life and death and love and loss. And, you know, but it deals with it in a way that can be understood at different age levels.
Mm-hmm. And as far as one of the mandates, and I shouldn't say mandate, but one of the thematic ideas I put forth to all the creators, and I covered this in that Make Like a Tree comics podcast with Sean Robert and Mark Rudolph, is this notion of one of the beautiful things about, to me, about Saturday morning cartoons is that they were honestly attempting to tell real, solid, complex, sophisticated stories, but they only had 21 minutes to do it. How do you do that? How do you tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end that is satisfying, that feels like it matters, in 21 minutes or less? And the answer is you do a lot of shorthand. You make your characters loud and vibrant, and you make your plot very, I don't want to say simple, but you keep it brief, and you use a lot of shorthand in the storytelling to get all the pertinent information across as quickly as possible. That is what I felt was the critical factor in making this thing feel like Saturday morning entertainment, was getting everybody on board with that idea of keeping it using a lot of that kind of shorthand in the storytelling. Try to tell as big of a story as you can, but do it in as small of a space as you can, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, just keep it simple.
Keep it simple, but don't be afraid to get sophisticated. I mean, you think about there's dozens of He-Man episodes which covered some very complex topics. Like, think about the episode Double-Edged Sword. Here I go, being nerdy. Nerd alert, everybody. I'm going to start talking about specific episodes. And, like, season 2, episode 32, Double-Edged Sword, we got that guy who he was paralyzed from the waist down because during a battle with some orcs, he had some building fall on top of him, but it was due to his own actions. He, in being a show-off, he caused this avalanche which crippled him and killed his friends. And so the man didn't like the fight anymore, and he was confronted with this issue where his son wanted to be a soldier, and the son learned through his, you know, backstory that violence is a terrible thing, and whether or not you choose to get involved in violence isn't the issue, but just make sure that when you do it, you understand what the stakes are, you know. That's a big idea to fit into 21 minutes of animation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's dangerous to use the word simple because people tend to think that, oh, well, you're just like, there's an episode of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, which I absolutely adore that show. There's an episode where Eduardo, the big purple monster on there, he's a big fan of this show, which is essentially Dora the Explorer. And it's like Nora goes exploring or something like that. And it's just like, and he's watching the show, and it's just her talking about the color red, and she just keeps saying red, and it shows an apple. She says red, and it shows a barn. She says red, and it shows something else that's red. And Eduardo's sitting there saying red with her, you know. And that's what I think of. And when Barry said this notion of Dora the Explorer versus Watership Down, that's a perfect illustration of the difference that we're talking about. We're talking about covering complex and hopefully rich, entertaining stories. We're not just trying to teach people what the number 5 means.
You know, you use the term shorthand a lot, but there's another phrase that I've been thinking about in writing Stranded. It's something that they really drum. I studied playwriting in college, and one of the things they just drummed into us there, but I've kind of gotten out of the habit of doing in writing comic scripts, so this is interesting to force me back into doing that, and that's subtext. You know, subtext has to be really important when you're writing these really short pieces if you want to get any kind of depth into it. And it's the subtext that plays into the all ages thing, because the kids will read it just for the action, just for the humor, just for the, you know, what's on the surface. It becomes an all-ages project when you've got the subtext in there that allows other age groups to get a deeper meaning out of the same story.
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent point. I think of the Justice League Unlimited cartoon series that, you know, in the last couple of years, that one was loaded with subtext. And and you're thinking of an 8-year-old who's going to watch it. They're not going to care about the drama between, say, Jon Stewart and Vixen and Hawk Girl. But
they're just gonna go, Green Lantern blows stuff up. It's cool.
Well, as a 30-plus-year-old, that's all I'm doing either. But but yeah, that's an excellent point, Barry. Is that you have to rely on a lot of inference. You have to infer a lot of information. And Mark and I talked about this in a podcast that hasn't aired yet. This is in a future episode of the Saturday Supercast. You'll get to hear next week an interview with Mark Rudolph. We talk a little bit about when you're using that shorthand, finding the exact words to communicate the maximum amount about that character, and that's where inference comes in, where you're saying a lot with very little. And so subtext and inference are very important. So you do have to have a very, I would say, at the risk of sounding like I'm justifying what we do, you have to have a complex understanding of how to make a story in order to do Saturday morning style entertainment. I always feel like I'm kind of patting myself on the back and telling everybody, what I do is hard.
Well, it has to be in a more complex form before you boil it down. You know, it's like you can't, if you just start it simple and keep it simple, then, yeah, there's nothing to really latch onto. But if you have, like, a more complex idea and you, like, sort of convert it down, then yeah, there's going to be stuff to grab onto.
Right. Okay, well, we've got another creator in here. We've got the crew from Nemu Nemu who are doing a contribution. If they're okay with it, I'm going to go ahead and let them in.
Yep, we're
here.
Hello.
Hi.
So who do we got here?
I'm Kitsy.
This is Scott.
So Kitsy Kimono and Kitsy Kimono. And Kimono. Yeah, Kimono Stereo. Okay. So you guys do a comic called Nemu Nemu, which is spelled N-E-M-U-N-E-M-U, and the website is nemu-nemu.com. And the contribution you're giving, why don't you tell us about what your contribution is going to be to Sugary Cereals?
Well, we were thinking about different story ideas, and because our comic is primarily a four-panel strip that we do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we kind of wanted to explore doing actual regular comic-style storytelling, which I haven't done in a while. So we took some of our favorite action heroes, Henshin Rider, and had created a new nemesis for him, and put the pups into a new situation where they have to question if their owners are really who they think they are.
And I've read the script, and it is absolutely adorable. It is. I had a couple spit take moments in the story, especially towards the end. It's really cute. And anybody who hasn't been to their site, please go to it. Do yourself a favor and read Nemu Nemu. It is 50 kinds of adorable. It's a great, great comic, especially since you guys went to color. It looks just gorgeous. And I understand that there's some congratulations in order for you two.
Yeah, there is. we are planning to get married.
Yeah, we announced it today on our website in coordination with this talk show.
Wow, and I have to applaud your choice of engagement ring. That was very nice. Hoover, you would like it. It was a Green Lantern ring.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's amazing.
It kind of started off as a joke, but yeah, it kind of fits now that I think about it.
Yeah. We had just seen him in the store like a few months ago, and we're kind of joking about it. But then as we kept going back, it became more and more of a question mark as to whether we should or should not. But unfortunately, they sold out of my size.
Oh. Well, Kimono Stereo, you just made every comic nerd in the universe jealous that you would actually be able to marry a girl who would accept a Green Lantern ring for an engagement ring. No, congratulations to the two of you. I mean, that's how awesome is that? That you're going to get married and you're doing comics together. I mean, that's the best of everything.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure working with Kitsy. You know, I haven't drawn in a long time, but I had a lot of good story ideas, and I kept telling her, hey, you know, maybe if we did something together, you know, we could come up with something really good. And Nemu Nemu is that product.
And Nemu Nemu is, I think, something that feels more current. It's one of the more current comics that are going to be part of the Sugary Cereals lineup in that it's, let's face it, it's very manga-inspired. I mean, it's loaded with manga references. I mean, the fact that Henshin Rider is going to... How do you pronounce it? Is it Henshin Rider?
Henshin Rider, yeah.
Henshin Rider, right.
Kind of based off of some of the old tokusatsu series and... like that were popular back here in the day, like Kamen Rider and Kikaida.
Yeah, we're actually if I don't know if you mentioned it, but we're actually all the way out here in Hawaii, and that's part of my childhood growing up here. There was a phenomenon of Japanese programming during the time that I was growing up. That was kind of our Saturday morning cartoon type of thing as well.
Wow.
The big one was Kikaida, and.
Still is big to this
it's
day.
It's pretty big still here to this day. All the kids are now, you know, in their 30s now that used to watch it. And it's just really exciting to see that kind of stuff taking off again for even the kids. The people who are fans, their children are now getting into that as well.
Right. Just to satisfy my curiosity, doesn't Henshin essentially mean warrior?
Henshin is the action of changing.
Oh.
Yeah, the kanji I think is for changing.
Yeah.
So,
in all of those live action shows, the main character usually took on a human form, but in order to change into the superhero, they did a what's called a henshin, like a some kind of arm movement or something that they would recite, and they would change into that super character.
Ah, I see. Well, see, that's just yet another reason why this project is so exciting to me, because so many different voices are bringing what their interpretation of Saturday morning is to this. And this came up with Robert Burke Richardson, who is Canadian, and he made some pitched some ideas at me that I was kind of like, I don't know, that doesn't quite fit into what I think of Saturday morning cartoons. And he explained. He said, you know, I'm from Canada, and we didn't have necessarily, you know, all that high intensity action shows. Some of our stuff was more quiet by comparison. So, and you guys are bringing this whole, you know, I didn't grow up with, I mean, we had a couple things like Trans RZ and Ultraman, but not a whole heck of a lot, not like a whole fleet of shows necessarily that were all that style. Right. So, but you guys have another whole dynamic with Nemu Nemu, with the pups. They're your lens into the story with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, martial arts action necessarily. There's that whole...
That's actually like an aside to what actually is going to take place in the actual story. It's hard to explain it. I guess you got to just check it out when it finally appears.
Well, we're going to be releasing some preview art for that, your contributions, in the next month or so, I believe, aren't we?
Yeah. We've been a little bit behind in some of our contributions, but we do plan to get them to be very, very soon.
I have to admit that I'm having a really fun time inking this project, because, you know, we're not stuck in that four panel like we usually are, and it gives us a lot of, it gives kids a lot of room to storytell in.
It's challenging too to kind of switch gears from just constant puns in four panels to actually trying to move a story along within, well, in this case, 8 pages.
Right, so there's more room, but it's still not a whole lot of room, because you, by the end of that 8 pages, you got to be at the end of that act. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was fun just coming up with the idea of the story, and, you know, we try to keep it really kid-friendly. I mean, I always think back to the time when I was a kid and how everything was just, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and everything... You know, anything and everything could happen, and that's what we kind of wanted to put into that storyline as well.
And that's where you guys totally get it. That's where I have to take my hat off to you. That is something that is critical to a project like this. And Sean Robert said it best on we did a Make Like a Tree podcast, episode 16. I'm going to talk about it again. All Ages for All Ages. He said there's a sense of wonder. There's a sense of Mark Rudolph also put it this way: nothing's off the table. You know, and as long as it makes a little bit of sense, you know, you're just ready to try anything. And there's this, you don't celebrate ennui, you don't celebrate, you can't fight City Hall kids that don't even try. Most of the stories from that period were very much had a sense of wonder and vitality and brightness to it. And it totally comes across in what you guys are working on, what I've seen so far. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So, I mean,
because I get to explore different coloring styles, which I haven't done in a while. Our comic is done in one style that is, it's easy for me to color quickly and change colors in the style that I do for our website. But for this project, I get to go back to practicing my old comic coloring routine when I used to help with backgrounds for some Marvel titles that I did about maybe 3 years ago now. So it's kind of, I'm a little bit rusty, but it's a really awesome opportunity for me to get back into the groove of things and trying things out again and trying to pick up where I had left off.
We were just really honored to be asked to do this.
Yes, we really, really were.
No, hey, gosh, you guys, I mean, here we are, we're all going to start crying now, right? No, seriously, I was, the moment I found Nemu Nemu, I absolutely fell in love with it, and I want to say again, everybody, Kitsy recently quit her day job working this full time, so I implore you to go visit the site, nemu-nemu.com, and if you like what you see, buy a book or donate or something, because they deserve it. They do some really excellent work.
Yes, thank you very much.
So I can't wait to see your contribution. You guys are due, I think, to come out in issue 4, I think.
I believe, yes.
Number 4.
Yep. So That's going to be an awesome issue. I think issue 4 is supposed to have Nemu Nemu and Daring Dodo and the Galactic League of Marshals. So that's going to be a fun book.
All great titles. What I've seen so far looks really great.
Yeah, the stuff that I've seen is I'm just kind of blown away by everything. I'm like, whoa, I hope you can stand up to this.
I know.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and let somebody else in for a little bit, if that's okay. So thank you, guys. I'm going to mute you for now. And if you want back in, you can go ahead and you guys aren't in on the computer, so I'll go ahead and check in with you guys in a little bit, see if you have any final thoughts before we close out, okay?
Thanks.
Okay. Wow. Nemu Nemu, that's going to be a great series for the anthology.
Let's remind everybody of the web address in case they're just now listening in. It's sugarycereals.com. And
spell
how do we spell sugary cereals?
Go ahead, Hoof.
S. Oh, now you're going to make me think about how to spell. Okay, it's sugarycereals.com. And no, Jersey has not renounced his comic art for designing breakfast cereals. This is not about breakfast. Although, he could probably make you a mean omelet.
It's a pun, you see. Get
yes.
It. Get
it's
it.
A play on words. It's sugary cereals like the kind you used to eat in front of the cartoons, but they're cereal stories.
Right, serialized fiction. Oh, my
yeah.
God, that's so incredibly clever.
The man is a genius.
Something like that. Okay, Hoover, I'm going to move on before you start making me feel even worse about myself. So do we want to let Oh, Mark still can't get in, so I'm going to go ahead and let Sean Robert in just to say a few words, I think, because he's our resident expert on growing up in the 80s. So, Sean Robert, are you there, Sean?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hooray.
Okay, yeah. Hey.
Hey, it's Hoover. Good to hear you from you, Sean.
Yeah, good to hear from you, too. I'm talking directly to you.
Through the miracles of technology.
So now we've got two of the guys who are going to be participating more in the podcast aspect of the site, and also I'm going to try to twist their arms into doing some actual blogging on the site. But Sean maintains a very in-depth blog at brandedinthe80s.com, where he's doing some fantastic dissections of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon series. And, oh, my God, I'm just absolutely loving it, Sean. Hats off to you.
Well, thanks.
It makes me wish that you lived in my town so we could just go out for coffee together and just geek out over this stuff. But instead, I have to settle for reading it.
Well, once again, the beauty of the internet.
It is, so, like we all live in the same town, a town called Internet.
So, Sean, what... You know, I asked you to help out with the project, even though, I mean, essentially I just asked you to join in the podcasting. So what was your reaction when you first saw what we were up to?
I was really excited. I mean, like, it's directly up my alley, especially, like, like Hoover said before, that it so mimics the whole Saturday morning cartoon thing, and it's not constrained, like you've also said, with some of the webcomics communities where everything's, like, focused on one type of comic. And this is just, it's just very diverse. I don't know, I just found that really appealing.
Yeah, that was one of the other things that, I don't know, Barry's more connected into the comic scene than I am, but Barry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but webcomics collectives / anthologies tend to, for the most part, don't feel as quite as diverse as they could be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually it does. I'm not sure what to add to that. I think you're right. There seems to be
Sorry, cold medicine's kicking in. I'm getting a little, I'm a little loopy here.
Well, and that's 10 kinds of a loaded question. That, you know, it's like you got to be careful when you say these kind of things because you don't want to make anybody mad because we really don't mean any harm when we say this. But it does seem sometimes that, like, when you do a webcomics anthology, that things can. They don't go as far out as you would hope. Like when you say, like, let's say you want to do a mystery webcomics collective. Let's say there's a webcomics collective out there, and it's like, all we're all doing mystery comics. You would think that, okay, well, there's going to be some people who do Victorian whodunits, and then there's going to be CSI stuff, and then there's going to be something that's sci-fi, but it's a mystery too. But you don't get that all that often. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I would totally agree with that.
So that was one of the things that I was really crossing my fingers when I was approaching people to join this thing that, okay, hopefully everybody's going to bring their own sensibility while staying true to what this overall theme is to the series, as far as what we've already talked about Saturday morning style entertainment. So, Barry, do you want me to let you, do you need to go since you've got, I mean, it is kind of late and you've been working hard all day.
Yeah, that might be good.
Well, I appreciate I'd like to thank you not only for showing up, but you and Thomas. I don't want to mispronounce his last name.
Florimonte.
Florimonte. You guys have really killed yourself to make this website happen. I mean, I came up with an initial design, and you guys, and I sort of handed over this huge mess of loose papers to you and said, let's make this thing happen. And I really, I mean, I want everybody to know these guys really kicked themselves in the butts to make sure this thing came together in time, and really, I appreciate the heck out of it. And
let me credit where credit's due. I mean, that's largely Thomas. I mean, this is he's our webmaster at 01 Comics in Kablam. He writes all of the software and the code that power our sites. And once you kind of had worked up the idea that you wanted for sugary cereals, and we talked about what we could use and what we couldn't use to do that. Thomas wrote all the custom code to make it happen.
Well, thanks to Thomas. I mean, the site looks gorgeous, and that's mostly due to him. I mean, what I handed him was pretty messy, so I really, really appreciate his efforts. And I also just I wanted to thank you again in public for, you know, believing in this project from the start, because if there's one thing I wasn't sure about, it was this idea that I could plant a flag in the ground and anybody would care, you know? So really, thank you, Barry. I hope this thing lives up to what I promise.
I wish I had the time to contribute more than I have thus far, and I'm hoping I'll be able to rectify that in the future. But I will say that what little I have been able to do has been a real thrill. I've had a lot of fun working on it. I'm really looking forward to being an actual contributor to the project. And
me too.
And I'm excited.
One last quick thing, and then I swear I'll let you go. Is the preview book available to be in print right now?
I am inputting the information right now. It should be available within the next few hours, tomorrow morning at the latest. At Indiana.
You hear that, everybody? So you can get it in print as of tomorrow morning. So thanks again, Barry. That's another thing that he was scrambling to get done for this thing, and I really appreciate it. So, okay, well, we'll let you go now. Thanks again for showing up. I really... You know, I hope you can come to more of these things.
My pleasure. I'll try to do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
So long.
Now explain to everybody what this preview book is.
Okay. Yeah. Let me explain what the background idea is beyond the for the preview book. You guys remember in the 80s, Sean? Sean and Hoover, I'm counting on you guys to back me up on this. In the 80s, when the new fall lineup was coming out, they would do a primetime preview show, and it'd be on at like 7 o'clock at night. It'd be like Joyce DeWitt interviewing cartoon characters from Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They used to do
that
in the fall.
Those were funny times.
So that was the inspiration for the preview book, was like this idea where, okay, well, let's there's no format necessarily. Like I told each creator, like, do whatever kind of thing you want, as far as you can do like the opening credits to your show with like a few preview images, or you could do like an interview with somebody on board. It can be more behind the scenes. Doesn't matter. But the idea was, is let's put together this preview book that feels as much as possible like those preview, like those primetime TV shows that came on before the, you know, to promote the new Saturday morning lineup coming out, because Sugary Cereals is live. but the actual anthology doesn't begin until October. So for this month, we're going to have the preview book up, and we're going to release a few more different preview items over the next several weeks. We've got a few more pages, like the Nemo Nemo stuff that we mentioned, as well as something I'm working on with Andrew Peterson called Minimum Wage Mages, which looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and possibly some other preview pages. So,
are you going to end up putting out like an addendum preview book with the new titles?
Possibly. If there's enough material, we may even wind up. This is the beauty of print on demand, is that we could always release like essentially a new edition of the preview book with those new pages in it, or we could release, you know, two smaller editions with one with where we cut the preview book in half and add a few new pages onto each or something. It doesn't matter. The glory of print on demand is it's not like where we got to print 5,000 copies, so we can kind of be fast and loose with what kind of books we put out. So, but for now, the preview book is what you see on the website. And let me also congratulate and actually thank from the bottom of my heart all the people who contributed to the preview book, because they had this stuff done months ago. I really wanted to make sure everything was in the can before we went live to make sure that, you know, I could deliver on the promise that this stuff's going to be in print. So, and especially in the case of Mark Rudolph, Chet Lucera, Sarah Turner, who really killed themselves to make sure that the first three issues were done in time. So we've actually got the first three issues done. And just to make sure that we're not delaying anybody, we're not going to be doing any updates where, you know, the next week's like, oh, sorry, can't deliver this week, you know. Which is
glad somebody's doing that in comics these days.
Well, let me let I'm gonna see if the crew of Nemo Nemo have any more to add. And hey guys, you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Did you guys? I didn't want to keep you guys in here all night if you didn't. I mean, well, you guys actually are. It's still not. It's not that late for you.
Here for us, we're all the way at the end of the world here. Sorry for you folks, you're still up at like past midnight.
Yeah, it's something like 1 a.m. where I am. So, but I didn't know if you guys had anything else that you wanted to get to. If you wanted to share any final thoughts with everybody about the project now that it's live, and
I'm just happy that there's something out there for, you know, for kids to take a look at and have some really good stories. And there's tons of stuff out there that it just, I don't know, like web comics that I've seen, a lot of them are real edgy and a lot of them aren't kid appropriate. And I'm just glad we can be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to emphasize this for everybody listening. This was not conceived of as a reaction to anything. This was more, but part of it does have to do with this notion of, you look at what's happening in mainstream comics, quote unquote mainstream, Marvel, DC, Big Two, Big Four, whatever you want to call it. There's this movement towards doing more adult-oriented content, and not people taking their clothes off, but very kind of intense storytelling. And television's doing the same thing. You got a lot of stuff going on in prime time. Now, it's not that I watch this stuff and go, oh my goodness, you know, my God doesn't like this or anything like that. It has nothing to do with anything like that. But it is that there is this notion that sometimes I just want something that's kind of lighthearted and easygoing and not, it's not intended to upset me.
we wholeheartedly agree,
yeah,
that it's good to actually have something like a different outlet that parents could feel okay sharing with their kids, or, you know, the parents can relive their childhood memories because through our comics, which, you know, will help bridge gaps, right? And then you're introducing a new bunch of kids, really, to something that we had grown up with.
Yeah, I really miss those days when comic books were like 50 cents and go down to the local 7-Eleven and find the latest issue of X-Men and go, yeah, there it is, you know?
No, okay.
I also miss the days of watching, you know, the Super Friends and the Croft Super Show and all that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, Yeah, it's great that you bring up Super Friends. I mean, you watch that show now, and it's the most ridiculous thing ever. The Riddler creates a satellite out in space that can project his face onto the moon, and he recites a riddle to Hawkman floating in outer space with no space equipment. Or he does have space equipment. He has, like, a dome over his head, you know, and it's just this kind of haphazard anything-goes kind of storytelling.
But it was totally believable back then.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Especially with Zan, Jaina, and the space monkey. Great.
there's something that's kind of innocent and magical about those cartoons where they're not trying so hard to make this believable and quote unquote realistic. They're just accepting the fact that if you're a little kid, you don't care about the technology. You just want to see Hawkman in space hitting things, you know.
Or Green Lantern.
Right. So, yeah, we're totally on the same page when it comes to that. This isn't a notion of this should be what all comics are, but more like we're just presenting an alternative because in addition to what's happening, this should be another alternative.
Yeah, there's a big need for something like this out there, definitely.
And it's really important, I think, to really try and get kids to read more books or just to read in general and really enjoy reading. And if it's through art and the storytelling that's involved with the writing and what's going on in each panel, hey, power to all of us,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Right, and yeah, there's always a need for an entry book for kids, for young kids. If you want to get a kid hooked for life, get them when they're young, and you're not going to get them when they're young with the death of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
At least if they're anything like I was when I was a kid. I mean, I grew up on Silver Age DC, not because I'm older, but because that's what was provided to me. And I remember very vividly reading my first issue of Alpha Flight, John Byrne, Alpha Flight, and there were these demons chewing people's faces off. And as a 10-year-old, it was just too much. I couldn't deal with that. You know, I was used to reading Jimmy Olsen drinking Gin Gold and stretching and solving mysteries.
I remember feeling that way too. I mean, when, you know, my first comic book was the X-Men, when John Byrne and Claremont and Austin were doing it, and, you know, I jumped in right before they left that book, and, you know, they killed off a character, and they were doing some, I guess, revolutionary things during that time in comic book land, but it was just so overwhelming for me coming from, you know, reading Superman and Spider-Man and all those, you know, Batman type of things, and seeing the
mm-hmm.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into a world of a little bit more realistic storytelling was really overwhelming for me at that point.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was something that started happening in the 80s especially. And I had the privilege of having dinner with Dan Mishkin. I'm going to brag about this till the day I die. I had dinner with Dan Mishkin, the creator of Blue Devil and writer of Amethyst Princess of Gemworld. And I was telling him how much Blue Devil was such an influence on me when I was a little kid, and he said, well, that's why, because you were a little kid. And I was like, well, not really. I mean, if you look at what Blue Devil was compared to what was happening a lot in mainstream comics at that time, where Blue Devil was very lighthearted, and it was the whole weirdness magnet thing where he'd fight crazy over-the-top villains like Metallo back when he was actually green, and he had the kryptonite heart and the glass box in his chest and everything, before John Byrne got his hands on him. And
right.
And it really did feel like there were certain books that were available at that time, like we're talking about 84, 83, like Amazing Man, Booster Gold, Tremor, what else? What's that?
Ambush Bug?
Oh, yeah. Where it was just like very lighthearted and silly, and so you'd read that, and you could have your heavier stuff like Atari Force or...
Suicide Squad.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, one off of Gumby, I remember that. And Spider-Ham,
yeah. Yeah. Precisely, you know, and Star Comics, you know, that there was all those Marvel Star Comics, like Muppet Babies and Thundercats. And
we are.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something I think is worth repeating, is that this isn't meant as a statement of, you know, this is what comics should be, but more like this is just yet another genre that should be there in addition to, because,
exactly.
You know, you mentioned this to some comics fans and they tend to get a little on the defensive side, like, oh, what are you saying? You're saying that I shouldn't be reading Civil War? No, go ahead and enjoy it, but we're here too.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well,
a great thing.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you guys, honestly, and before this turns into too much of a love fest. I just want to give you guys another chance to come in, and I don't know how long you guys had to stick around, so I just wanted to let you in one more time. I'm going to go ahead and mute you guys again, if that's okay.
Yeah, great.
And I'm going to get some reader reactions. So here we go. You guys are muted. And let's let Tom Foolery in first as the Make Like a Tree Comics Goodwill Ambassador. He can now move on to become the Sugary Cereals Goodwill Ambassador, hopefully, unless he hates it. Hey, Tom.
He'll need a new badge.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, everybody. How do I...
Doing okay. How are you?
All right. I'm really excited about this. I wish Barry was around so I could thank him for allowing this group of people who think along the same lines to be in this one place, you know, and allow, like you were saying, comics that I can share with my kids. This is very exciting, and I think it looks great. And listening to everybody and reading the stuff that's going on in the chat room here, I'm very excited about this. This is great. I can't say more positive stuff about it.
I like it.
Your check's in the mail, Tom.
No.
Okay. Well, now that you say that, one negative thing. I'm kidding.
Not enough alluring women, right?
Girls, yes.
Well, do you understand now, Tom, what I was hinting at for so long with this whole logical extension of Make Like a Tree Comics?
Yes, yes. What I don't understand is why you hinted for so long.
What? Well, you have to understand that we had a lot of work done a long time ago, and because of various setbacks, which were not in any way anyone's particular fault, there were several delays in getting this thing out and into the public. And part of it was due to me being very fastidious about making sure that this thing was done. It was ready so that I didn't launch it and somebody looks around the site and goes, oh, hey, what about this? And I go, no! You know, I forgot this critical component.
Well, no, it's great. I mean, from past history, looking at the work you've done previously, we know that if you know, have decided that it's ready to go, it's ready to go. And I knew the wait was well worthwhile. I mean, you've got a great group of artists. I'm happily clicking everywhere, going, oh, a new comic. Oh, this is great, and going from there. You know, so I can't say enough that I'm very excited about where it's going, and being introduced to new styles. You know, we're talking in the channel here about how Mark's wonderful Curse of the Pharaoh is just bringing up so many. Just this one comic that we focused on is just bringing up so many different images to us, such as, you know, I said it looks like, you know, something that a young Kurt Russell would have been in, and then somebody else said, oh, it reminds me of, right now, reminds me of Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's just, you know, that sense of wonder. You know, we're not even talking about Sunday morning shows now, or Saturday morning shows now. We're talking also about the shows at night, like the Ripley's Believe It or Not. And
with
awesome.
Jack Palance.
I mean, yeah, I'm very excited about that, so...
That is what is so thrilling to me is this is going to be where I get kind of a little bit mushy is, you know, I honestly, whoever you can attest to this, whoever was there from the beginning when I first started talking about this idea, and I thought, you know, this is a really cool idea, but is anybody out there going to care about this? You know, just because you look at what's happening in mainstream comics and other kinds of comics where everybody's pushing envelopes in all these different ways to do something that's just solid and wholesome and not dangerous to children seems to me like kind of a throwback thing. It's like I thought for sure I was going to send emails out to people saying, hey, would you like to be part of this thing? They'd say, go back to, you know, the old folks home, you dinosaur. So I was not only pleasantly surprised, but I was just stunned. I was flabbergasted by how eager people were to be involved. Like I didn't get one email where they were like, shut up, old man. And this is by no means me trying to say, like, oh, my ideas are stupid. I like my ideas, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be working on Make Like a Tree for so long, but I had no hope that anybody else would care. So it was this thing has been a life-changing event for me, just this notion that we can bring in all these people, and they're going to bring such rich deep experiences to it that dovetail right into what I was hoping, but yet feel completely unique and fresh. And you look at something like Nemu Nemu, and you look at something like Curse of the Pharaohs, and you're like, these things aren't even close to being similar, but they actually fit the mold. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they complement each other. I mean, it's don't you think that you already are, you know, expanding boundaries? I would almost say pushing an envelope by taking it in the direction you're headed in. I mean, people are going one way, you're going with another way with this talented group of writers and artists. Don't you think you are also pushing this envelope?
Well, you are allowed to say that, but I'm not. Because if I say it, it's arrogance. If you say it, then it's admiration.
I was talking to whoever. What do you think? Do you think he's no? Seriously, I think, you know, I've been with you for a long time as a fan, and I've watched and seen people notice this type of, you know, I'm not going to even say throwback. It's a reinvigoration of what we looked at as kids, and not just because, you know, there's stuff that we watched as kids that was kind of, if we were an adult, we would have been, okay, you know, that's a little iffy, but as a kid, there was a sense of innocence to it. And that,
yeah,
I think, is what harkens back. This is what you're doing. And I really think that you're pushing as many envelopes as the guys who want to go as hardcore into the crazy dark side of things, you know?
Well,
I agree, and I think that's sort of the irony of the whole project, is that mainstream comics has gotten so in love with being dark and envelope pushing that has sort of dragged the canvas off into the corner, and what was once mainstream is now avant-garde. And so for Jersey to do these all-ages sort of titles now, people
whoa,
that's kind of strange.
Well, let's be careful not to use my name as the name over top of all of Sugary Cereals. I am not the voice of Sugary Cereals. I am.
But you are the sort of the man behind the scenes. You're sort of the...
I want to be very careful about that. I want to be very careful.
Right, you're not doing
that.
All the books, sure. But this was your little brainchild.
Well, I came up with the idea, and a lot of other people said, good idea, me too. Let's just put it at that. I mean, Nemu Nemu was going on independently of Make Like a Tree Comics, and they were going along very well and very, you know, popular. They had their audience before I asked them to join. You know, I kind of crossed my fingers thinking, am I good enough for them to be a part of the organization? You know, so I just want to make sure that everybody is clear on this, that this is by no means the Jersey Show. And while the blog right now only has posts by me, over the next couple of weeks we're going to get everybody blog accounts and everybody is going to have a voice in this thing. And as a matter of fact, here's a little news bit for you guys. We're going to be launching a whole bunch of different podcasts on there. The Saturday Supercast is just the first one. Mark, you can see on the Sugary Cereals site, Mark has launched one as well called Art and Story, where we're just going to be talking about creation of comics and just, you know, theorizing about things. And I'm hoping to entice other Sugary Cereals creators to do their own podcasts, and we'll network them all on that site. So everybody will have a voice in this thing. Everybody's going to get to put in their 2 cents, because everybody's voice matters on this thing.
Yeah, and that's the really cool thing about it, because, I mean, it is, as you've always said, a logical extension of Make Like a Tree. Make Like a Tree was you and Sarah, and
right,
still is. And now this is like you, Sarah, Mark, all these other people. It's like,
right,
it's like before it was just one or two apartments. Now you have an entire apartment complex of creators, you know, to use a metaphor. And it's like, you know, how can you not like that idea? It's just like what you liked before times 20. You know, so fantastic.
Hopefully.
Well, it's like the Super Justice Wonder League of artists, you know. there's no actual, you know, leader. You're all together in this, and it's just because one person had the idea. I don't,
yeah,
you know, there's so much that's coming our way. If anybody, you know, just because Jersey happened to be the first one to say something, if anybody really we should be waving a flag and saying, hey, all right, it's Barry for you know, really making these this come true and really,
yeah,
exploring an aspect of comics, not only just the technical side of micro prints and whatnot, if that's the case, but also, you know, exploring family-friendly, you know, stories that aren't necessarily just confined to, you know, family, because there's all sorts of stuff that can be gone down, all these different roads that can be gone down, and it's exciting.
Right.
Very exciting.
Well, right, speaking as a man who does not have children, these are stories that I love, but I'm hoping that people with children will read them with their children. That's something that I dearly hope. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, if you go to the about page, it says comics are officially for everyone again, and that's what I was hoping. That was the intent for this whole project, is make them for everybody, really everybody, except for that guy who, you know, has a lot of tattoos on his face and
pampered teeth. Yeah, except for that guy.
Yeah, he's not
really. Yeah, him.
Well, I wish him well.
You haven't seen me recently, have you? I haven't put a perfect picture of with Mommy Need tattoos on my face. Yeah, no. I gotta tell you, Jersey. You know, I've shared with my kids your stuff, and I've shared, you know, as much as I can with my older kids with Sarah's stuff. And you know, I know the people that you're bringing in, especially from all the clicking around. There's not going to be a problem with people sharing with their kids, or sharing with their wives, or their moms, or their dads, or, you know, Weird Aunt Ethel. You know, whatever, they're going to share these things. Not just because they're family friendly, but because they're good. I mean, you can see it in the art. You can see it in just the way people are attacking it in your teasers. It's, you know, yeah, I may be sounding very excited about it, but if other people didn't believe in it, we wouldn't have as many people involved, and that's exciting. When people care, it spreads.
Yeah, I'm hoping this thing will be a big deal. I'm hoping this will be a very big deal. And, yes, unlike Make Like a Tree Comics, Make Like a Tree Comics, I will announce here, is going to be changing its branding in the near future, because it isn't. Not everything on Make Like a Tree Comics is available for all ages. You know, we put ratings on there. But we're going to be updating brandings now that Sugary Cereals is here, and it's truly all ages. Now we're going to, like, change things a little bit on Mlad. So we got some other readers here that I'd like to let in. So, Tom, I'm going to mute you just for a minute, but I'll let you back in because I think you're going to want to talk to this fellow.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to see if Relapse is ready to come in. Relapse, our good friend from Australia. Hello, Relapse. Are you there?
Let's see if this works, because it took a while. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Splendid. Hello.
So, greetings. Have you had a chance to check out the site yet, or?
I've just been scanning through it, seeing that I'm in a continent in an ocean away. Every time I change a page, unfortunately, everyone sounds like they're in space. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing so far.
Well, cool.
It has to be the first time I've seen Villainous Vixen used without sarcasm for quite some time, and it's a phrase that has been dearly missed.
you're referring to the Galactic League of Marshals.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, Mark and I are working on our contribution of Galactic League right now for issue 4 of Sugary Cereals, and it's a riot. It's so much fun to work on.
Well, all of them look like they're going to be fun to work on, because it's a lot like what Tom was saying earlier. It's the art direction and the stories are all harkening back to the different eras of the Saturday morning comic and the Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, that's the guiding theme, yeah. So there was nothing off the table as long as it was a fun idea, or at least something that was, like, something that was heartfelt or honest, you know. You know, that's something that I would also like to add, is that one of the things that we were talking about with the branding for this, to use that crass term that Barry mentioned, is our branding I would classify as earnestness rather than coolness, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's certainly honest. It goes back to the cereal boxes, which is, I'm assuming, what you're after. I keep expecting when I click a link to find a plastic toy at the bottom of it.
Well,
there's
an
idea.
I have to let Tom Foolery back in to talk to Relapse, so. There you go, Tom. Go ahead.
What's funny about that, Jersey, is that Relapse and I have been chatting, trying to get him into the thing for a while. But how you doing?
Fantastic. Finally good to say hi.
After all this time, you know, for listeners that aren't familiar with the background, Relapse and I have been fans of Jersey and Sarah's over at Make Like a Tree. So we've been chatting through IRC and just to finally put a voice with the name It's nice.
Well, it was very tempting to put on a really bad Steve Irwin accent, so I'm not sure how it's coming through at the moment.
Oh, you mean you're not? I'm kidding.
Done.
Well, I should make mention that for Relapse's sake, that we do have an Aussie creator on board. Richard Stevens is from your neck of the planet, so, and he's gonna be doing the Elements of Destiny. You can see those preview pages up. So, your continent is being represented.
Well, I can only give you my seal of approval on that one.
It's like the United Nations of all ages comics.
Yeah, it's like the Global Guardians.
The Global Guardians of sitting down and eating bad cereal while reading great comics. Yeah, I'll join that.
Well, good. I'm glad that you approve as well.
I can tell that it was needed.
Well, it wouldn't feel right if it didn't like it. So, Sean, are you still in here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Just
we got a lot of people. Okay. So, is there any... Let me just ask you guys. I've kind of been covering this thing willy-nilly, jumping here and there and everywhere about the project. Is there any questions after looking at the site that you guys have for us? I can let Kitsy and Kimono Stereo again if you have any questions for them or for me or for even Richard Stevens. He's in the chat.
I have a question in regards to... this isn't an exclusive group. Are you going to be taking applications for more artists? Are you going to, how's this going to work as it grows larger and more popular? Which I know it will. So
that's a good question. That's a very good question. As a matter of fact, Barry warned me about this because when I started it, I had, like I was saying earlier, I had no hope that I was going to get more than 5 people to be able to join this thing. And Barry warned me, he said, you know, you're going to have a lot of people who want to be part of this. And I'm like, well, we'll see. Right now, I told you guys at least the first 6 issues we're going to stay with it being invitation only, just so we can make sure that the feeling and the voice of the series is established, and then after that we might open it up to applications and submissions, and at that point we may wind up having more than three stories per issue. We could wind up having upwards of 6 per issue, you know, turn it into a 32 page or 64 page book every month. That would be awesome. Nobody would be more thrilled than me. But we'll see.
You have to start off small and sensible, and you know, get footing. You know, you don't just dive into the end of the pool. I think the way you're going about this is really good. You know, you're making sure all the bases are covered. You're making sure you have all these issues in the can, and you know, you're getting your feet, your footing, and then you take it from there. So, I say kudos.
I think, yeah, I agree with Hoover. I'm very excited about this, and I can't wait. And, hey, you know, I consider it a success already since, you know, finally I was able to talk to Relapse. So I've got to, you know, that's about it for me. So.
If that's all accomplished.
It seems kind of silly, but, I mean, just look at what you're accomplishing globally. I mean, because you're doing this via the Internet and not, you know, via very limited comics distributors here in the United States, you know, you're getting a global audience. You're getting global creators. I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but I mean, you're really creating a worldwide force here.
Yeah, a worldwide force. I know what you mean, but that sounds funny.
It does.
No, that is an awesome aspect of it, but yeah, it just means that we're to hopefully speak to as big of an audience as possible between, you know, Kitsy and Kimono Stereo speaking to, you know, folks from their side of the planet, and then Richard Stevens speaking to folks on his side of the planet, and then, you know, little old me speaking to the folks in Midwest America.
Yeah, and more so than that, it's like they can get exposed to voices that they wouldn't necessarily hear.
Well,
you know,
it's
like when we were little kids and we saw things like Ultraman, and Spectre Man and all these Japanese shows, we were like, wow, these are crazy. And, you know, this will sort of replicate that. And, you know, people will get exposed to stuff they wouldn't normally be exposed to, which is always cool. And, you know, if they don't like it, they don't like it, but at least, you know, they'll find out. So that'll be the fun part.
Right.
Well, it's like you guys were saying earlier with Nemu Nemu and the gentleman from Canada, how our version, you know, being in the States, the continental States, was of Saturday morning cartoons were vastly different. And it's actually different depending on where you lived and what market you were in. Of course, your age, you know, a little older people like me, we got to see, you know, shows that, like I said earlier, weren't exactly as innocent as they were to us when we were kids. But, you know, being exposed to different influences is going to be great. And it's going to, you know, I mean, if and here's to bring something back to Make Like a Tree Comics, the amount of influence that you and Sarah had on each other, I mean, your art has just gotten so much better. And I can't imagine everybody's art not improving from the amount of work going into this and working together. It's going to be fantastic for everybody involved, you know? It's a
excellent point. Excellent point, Tom. I want to touch on that. One of the things that we are playing with, there's a private Sugary Cereals forum where we've been communicating for the past 10 months. And one of the things that I have been proposing to everybody, and I'm hoping that will happen, and I think it's going to happen, is doing what I'm calling Traveling Wilbury Styles Comics, where, say, four of us, completely different kinds of projects, team up on one project. And, you know, so you'd have, like, just as an example, and this isn't happening necessarily, I'm just saying, like, this is a theoretical example. Like, say, Kitsy from Nemu Nemu pencils it, and I ink it, and Robert Richardson scripts it, and Richard Stevens colors it. So, like, and that brings all four voices together to create a completely new thing, and it also helps us create something very fast, so that we're not doing the whole thing on our own.
Like a comics house, you know?
Right,
where,
right.
Yeah.
But different than that, in that this is much more of like a kind of a hippie, roly-poly kind of anything goes, and everybody's voice matters to the project kind of thing. Less assembly line and more communal creation, if that makes sense.
Kind of like a comic jam.
Yeah.
Or a comic show house.
Yeah, very much. And there's already been some people talking about doing things like that in the forums, and I'm hoping to see what they come together with. And that said, also, I should point out that Sarah Turner is going to be doing a solo project for Sugary Cereals, and I've seen the first couple pages, and it looks really cool. And it's not like nothing, just like how Equalizers of the Divide, which we didn't really talk about at all, but we can talk about that another time, isn't anything like what we've done before on Make Like a Tree. This new thing that Sarah's doing isn't anything like what she's done on Make Like a Tree. It's a completely new thing.
It's about robot cowboys?
No, she's not that cool.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think of the one thing that was completely different than anything she's ever done, and I was like, oh, that's definitely it. That's awesome. That's really awesome that she's coming up with something. And see, right there, I mean, you know, this allows writers who have their own stories and everything to come in and do this stuff and bring more readers to them. And I just... You know what? You better mute me because I'll just be going on about how great this is. You know?
As a matter of fact, I think
put me on repeat, man. I think Jersey's going to mute everybody but you if that's what you is. That's how you're going to go on.
Yeah, really. No, actually, I am going to go ahead and mute you guys because I would really like Sean Robert to get like a 2 cents in here because he hasn't had much to say yet. And I mean, this guy, I brought him in because. I'm not only a huge, huge fan of his, but I also feel like this guy is like he's really in tune with a piece of my soul. So I'm gonna go ahead and mute you guys. There goes Relapse, and there goes Tom. Sean, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I would love to give you a few minutes to pontificate about what you're passionate about, which ties in directly to what we're doing. And I just put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. No, like you were talking about before that, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're representing here is something that, like, a lot of us being in our 30s or a little bit older around there have, you know, like, a certain nostalgia for. And it's definitely something that brought me into all this, like, when I started blogging and everything. It came out of nostalgia. But then what kept me doing it and what kept me interested in it is that there is just, I don't know, that there's something in the stuff that I was watching as a kid, the cartoons and stuff like that, that isn't represented as much in the stuff that we're seeing today. So, like I said, looking down the list of things that are going to be in this comic, it's just really refreshing.
Well, one of the reasons I asked you to join is mostly because you actually think pretty hard about why you liked the things that you liked. It's not just, your blogs are not just, oh, Avenger's so cool because he's got a horn on his head and he shoots magic out of his hands. Anybody who goes to brandedinthe80s.com, and I urge you to also go there, you look at those Dungeons & Dragons posts, and it is, you go in there with the scalpel and you dig everything out for us, and you lay it all out on the table, and you say, this is why, like, this is what happens in the episode, and here are my thoughts on each little moment, and it's just very in-depth, and it's not speaking from nostalgia or kitsch or irony. It's speaking from an honest appreciation of the work. You're looking at it and saying, I loved it as a child, and here's why it still holds up even in my adult years. And that, I think, is very impressive. And that's where you speak very much to what the whole vibe of Sugary Cereals was intended to be.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'm still a kid at heart. I mean, even though I'm an adult, I mean, obviously. I don't know. I'm really bad at, like, voicing the stuff. I'm much better writing the stuff because I can think about it for hours on end, but no, I mean, you say it much better than I do, but...
I don't know about that. I mean, when you listen to your podcast, and here's where your readers are going to get mad at you because you're not podcasting as much as you used to, but, like,
yeah.
when you look at, like your the section you did of Chuck E. Cheese's, rather, Showbiz Pizza. I'm sorry, Showbiz Pizza.
Well, same difference.
Right, but I mean, it was just you talking, but it was a very, I think, a very thoughtful breakdown of what it was like to go there. And it was just entertaining to listen to because it wasn't, again, it wasn't just like two guys going, yeah, you remember that gorilla? Oh, man, he was cool in the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything has something too. I mean, everything was created by artists and writers and, you know, everything is a little bit deeper than what's on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So... I mean, everything deserves, you know, a little bit of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Attention.
No,
what you're
noticing is you're noticing, here we go, here's the, I get to put on my professor cap. You're noticing the intentionality behind what they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
you're noticing that yes, it's not... Well, when you look at the idea of what Chuck E. Cheese's and Showbiz Pizza was, this notion of, well, let's give kids pizza and robot animals singing, and we'll have the strobe light room, which on the surface is like it's more insane than anything Nikola Tesla could ever have come up with. At the same time, there was, as silly as it is, there's an artfulness and there's an intentionality behind everything that was in that place, and you are reading it. And you're showing it to us, saying, notice the intentionality here, and let's celebrate it not just for the nostalgia, but also for the thought and effort that went into what made our childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's the great thing about his site. I mean, this guy can talk about stickers for,
yes.
like, paragraphs and paragraphs, and on the surface you go, well, why would I want to read about stickers for paragraphs? But then you read what he says, and you're like, man, he is dead on.
Right.
And I was reading his sticker reviews, and I was like, man, I wish I still had my stickers. You know, he has a way of really taking you back to that time and really, you know, digging below the surface. You know, he's not just saying, dude, stickers were so cool. You know, he's bringing up the whole the setting and everything else around it. You know,
right.
he talks about Stickers Magazine and how clearly, you know, this issue he has, it was the beginning of the end, and people were saying, uh-oh, the sticker fad is over and all this. You know, it sort of takes you back to that time. It's almost like a time capsule where it's not just an analyzation of very trivial surface elements. It's like it digs a little deeper and takes you right back to it. And that's why his site is so good.
And I should mention, by the way, that if you go ahead and listen to the Art and Story Episode 1 podcast that Mark Rudolph and I did, we made a blatant reference to, and I need to credit you for it, Sean. We got to put that in the show notes. We made a blatant reference to your post on Chuck Norris action pants. we bring it up, and I totally forgot to credit Sean for posting that advertisement images.
That's quite all right. Chuck Norris's action pants are for the world.
No one man can own them, not even Chuck Norris himself.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I wanted to thank you, Sean, for being a part of this, and mm-hmm. I hope to have you on as many podcasts as possible because your input is very, very valuable to the project as a whole.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be a part.
And those of you who want to find out more about him, you can go to the creators page on the site, and he's in there right now under contributors, or you can just go to brandedinthe80s.com. I'm thinking we can probably wrap this up here. We've been going for quite some time now, so I'm going to go ahead and let the Nemu Nemu team back in just for one more final word before we wrap it up. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Sure.
Yeah.
You are paragons of patience to sit through all that.
Oh, it's interesting listening to everybody talk because, you know, we read all about you guys on the forums, but listening to people is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's a good thing, but well, you don't have to say. Well, just one last time, Kitsy and Kimono Stereo, you guys do Nemu Nemu at nemu-nemu.com, and you guys are going to be posting something on the Sugary Cereal site soon. At the very least, you can at least see their ad banner at the bottom of the homepage if you refresh it enough. But so thank you guys.
We had a question. We're at the Sugary Cereal site, and we're wondering where can we get a banner to put on our site to promote Sugary Cereal.
That's a good question.
Mm.
You know, we need to have that on there. Okay, that will be the first thing on my agenda tomorrow is to put some banners on there for you guys.
Yeah. Promote.
All right. So that will be, you guys will have that soon. I apologize for not putting that up. That was an oversight.
No problem. We're just trying to do our part.
Okay, well, I guess thanks to everyone for showing up. I guess what I'll do to end this is we can do what Leo Laporte does on with his Ned at Night podcast. I can just unmute everybody, and we can all say goodnight at once, and then I can call it quits. What do you say? So, one last thing. We will be doing this podcast, I'm hoping, weekly. Next week is a pre-recorded episode, but the week after that, I will let everybody know when it's scheduled, and you will be welcome to show up if you can. And I'll try to schedule them on Saturdays at different times to accommodate our various audiences. So, in the meantime, we'll wrap this up. I'm going to unmute everybody. We can all say goodnight. And how do I unmute all? Oh.
Click.
Here we go. Yeah, I'm going to have to click everybody. Here we go. There, you're all on. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
We have to see you tonight.